This morning's scripture reading will come from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, we'll read the first seven verses. But now says the Lord, the one who created you, Jacob, the one who formed you, Israel, don't fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When through the rivers, they won't sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be scorched, and flame won't burn you. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. Because you are precious in my eyes, you are honored, and I love you. I give people in your place, the nations in exchange for your life. Don't fear, I am with you. From the east I'll bring your children, and from the west I'll gather you. I'll say to the north, give them back, and to the south, don't detain them. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, and whom I created for my glory, whom I have formed and made. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There are certain passages of Scripture with which we are comfortably familiar. For whatever the reason, we are able to remember the accounts of some Bible stories better than others. Familiar words echo from Scripture passages, well, sometimes even in our own voices, or the voices of those who have told us the stories through the years. Whether it is the stories of our childhood lessons in Sunday school or passages that are frequently repeated, sometimes every year in lectionary texts, or words that abide deeply within us because they made their way into our very hearts when our hearts were laid open by brokenness. The baptism of Jesus is one of those familiar accounts that is repeated in the lectionary every year. Whether it is from the frequent repetition or the beautiful hymns that recount the story, or because of made-for-TV movies, the images of Jesus being baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, and maybe even the words spoken are familiar to us. We not only know that God's voice spoke from heaven, we also know what God said about Jesus. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Well, we all know that God was pleased with Jesus. Jackson was learning that in confirmation this morning. That's not new news. But what I need to know is that God is also pleased with me. And what I want you to know is that God is also pleased with you. What we all need to know is not only that God's presence and favor was with Jesus, but that favor and presence is with each of us as well. When we face the hardest and harshest issues of life, the assurance that we need is that we too belong to God and God is with us. When spoken so long ago by Isaiah, the words of this morning's scripture reading were for the exiled Hebrews. They had lost everything that they had been promised they would always have. The land given to Abraham by God was now controlled by Babylon. The great temple of Jerusalem, which had stood for 350 years as a physical and spiritual center of their religious lives, was a smoking ruin. And because the temple was gone from the scene, the regular priestly sacrifice and offering had been disrupted, seemingly forever. And the king, the one directly descended from David as was promised, had been blinded and rendered childless by the cruel Nebuchadnezzar. All had been lost. In the wake of their devastation and displacement, even the good news of liberation and to return home must have left them shaken. It was during this time period, when ancient Israel was in dire need of reconstruction, that Isaiah spoke. We can imagine how the Hebrews might have felt because, well, we have known and felt the same way when all that brought us order All that brought us stability and hope in our lives has fallen around us in ruin. With all of those monstrous realities staring them in the face, one could understand how many of the exiles could have lost faith in God, a God who had made such promises, promises that perhaps now they wondered even if God existed. What did the Hebrews need to hear from Isaiah? What do we need to hear when we stand in the same kind of places? Let us hear afresh the words that have brought hope to the hopeless and comfort to the afflicted for 26 centuries and counting since Isaiah. Isaiah begins with these words for the Hebrews. Remember whose you are. Remember you were created by God. Remember God redeemed you. Remember God has given you your name and that you belong to God. Another message Isaiah had for the Hebrews was, remember that you are loved. Remember God would and did give everything for you. Remember you are precious in God's sight. Remember God loves you. Isaiah told the people of Israel, remember God is with you. Remember when you pass through the waters, and you will, God will be with you. Remember when you pass through the rivers, and you will, they will not overwhelm you. Remember when you walk through fire, and you will. You shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. Remember, God is with you. That is actually the same message that was spoken by God at the baptism of Christ. You are mine, I love you, and I am with you. It was spoken not only at the Jordan River. It was in the thundering voice of God over the waters of chaos in Isaiah's day. They are words that continue to ring no matter the depths of our waters in which we find ourselves. They were spoken not only of Jesus and the Israelites before Him, but of each and every one of us since. You are my beloved child. I am with you. There are words that were spoken to the ancient Israelites, words they needed to hear as their world lay in ruins and rubble around them. They were words that have been repeated time and time again to those who have found themselves threatened, overwhelmed by rising waters, those who found themselves about to be washed away by the currents of rivers that rushed around them, like they were going down for the last time. Those who were being held over the flames of what seemed to be hell itself. They are words that you may need to hear today, or that you may need to hear tomorrow, or the next day. Remember, you belong to God. God loves you. God is with you. But what difference does that make? What good is a promise like that that stops short of guaranteeing there will be no rising water, no river overflowing us, no more fires? What good is a promise like that when we lie buried beneath the ruins of reality and the images of raging wildfires? It is a promise that makes all the difference. Makes all the difference in the world to all of us. It is a word that sets a protective circle around us, a word that holds the real devastation of waters that roar in check. It is a difference that makes the floods and the fires of life epic events rather than core events. Oh, they may be for us an epic event that changes the course of our life and alters it in some way, but they are not core events. They do not define us or who we are. We remain who we have always been, the beloved children of God. And we are not alone. God is with us. These are words not just for Jesus. They are not just for the Israelites. And they're not just for us. They are words that so many need to hear today. In a world where oceans of hate exist, where rivers of division continue to flow and divide, where despair and devastation run deep and a flood of hate seems never to crest. Some have been told they don't belong where they find themselves. Some are told they do not belong anywhere. To so many, it seems that they are indeed all alone and face whatever it is that turns their world upside down. It seems to them that there are none who dare to stand with them, either because of who they are or where they come from, or because their whole situation makes others uncomfortable. They long to hear the same words above those waters and flames of their chaos that we have heard above ours. You are loved. You are not alone. God is with you. Alan Bosack tells us, sometimes there is nothing else that the church must do than to pray with people to assure them that God is not aloof, but present in their situation, in their pain. Other times, there is more we can do. And whenever there is more we can do, we must do it. As a church, we can become what Bosack calls the protesting presence of a loving God. Always, 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 the church must be the echo of the still-speaking God who declared not only about Jesus, but also about each and every one of God's children in each and every place, in each and every time. You are loved. You are not alone. God is with you. Amen.